Beloved, it does not come any questions at the moment. What comes is just a wish to say that I love you very much. You are a sacred love for me, Babaji. Whenever I fall in tune with you, I feel a peaceful silence embracing me and a total trust that whatever happens, nothing can go wrong because I'm with you. That is how it is. Nothing can go wrong. The heart is overflows with love, and my only longing is to disappear in this love. Thank you, beloved, for showing me this joyful, loving, and sacred way of living. I love you, yours, Dipani. P.S. Beloved, I don't speak much. Very good. It's enough of people who speaks enough in this world, no? And when you are on sacred ground, what can you speak about then? Huh? When you are on sacred ground, what can you say then? You just enjoy, no? You just enjoy. How come my feet is on this sacred ground, no? And many times I'm very shy, and because of this, maybe there is not many chances for me to receive feedbacks. Feedbacks is just for ignorant people, no? If they don't feel, and ignorant people are those who doesn't feel that they are on sacred ground, no? People who come stumbling into the temple, huh? They need feedback, they need reminders, they need work, they need guidance. So I want to say that I'm open, I would like to receive whatever may be needed to better serve you and for my growth. Love you. Don't be worried. When everything is natural, when everything is in tune, then there's nothing much to say. It's only when people are not in tune, no? That's when people have to speak, no? So they learn, no? Otherwise, it shouldn't be necessary. Beloved Guruji, since I came closer to your physical presence, I feel how much more my heart has expanded. My whole being feels more open, more sensitive to everything. It's such a great blessing to feel myself more, to be so open to you, to love, to existence. But when I'm open, I'm open. I cannot choose what to feel and what not to feel. And I see how much more sensitive I became to other other beings' suffering and pain. It really goes in. And sometimes it hurts me, as if it is happening to me. I know I cannot save the world. I cannot stop the suffering from happening. The only thing I can do is to end my own suffering, my darkness, my unconsciousness. Still, I can't help but cry in sadness and pain when I feel the others suffering. So my question is, how to remain open when living in this world without retreating into any cave? How is it for you? Forever grateful, in love, at your feet, Yamuna. Sensitivity is a must, no? It's a sensitivity is a must to become fully human being. Most people are not sensitive. They are closed. They're very immune, very hard. They don't sense other people, they don't sense any pain. They are, the whole focus is on themselves. Insensitive. That is what is normal. Only me, 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 me. That is insensitivity. They have no idea what is happening around. The whole focus is on the ego. That is where most people are functioning. Only me. Then the next, my religion, my country, my beliefs. This is very low, it's the lowest. So to become human being, which is what I'm talking about, you have to be sensitive, no? And coming close to me, coming close to the truth, coming close to your heart, of course that will flower in sensitivity, in feeling, in understanding. But this too will pass. But it is a must. It is a must to be sensitive. For me, that just means that you are a human being. No? You are a heart that you feel. And in reality, everything and everybody is part of you. We all come from the same source, like many, many drops from the same ocean. Be that if it's animals or humans or whatever. So this understanding is in everybody. But most people are not in touch with it. So before it's totally crystallized, realized, then it swings between you feeling it. So how is it for somebody is very different from person to person. But when you accept the pain and the suffering, which Buddhas, all the Buddhas says, life is suffering, no? Life is suffering when you are stuck in the ego. Life is also suffering when you become more sensitive. But then you are alive. But there is a way out. Who is suffering? That's what the enlightened ones, they also feel the pain, but it comes and it goes. They don't hold on to it. So you feel the pain, you will feel the suffering, you feel the joy, you will feel the sadness, as long as you are a human being, no? But it will be more and more just like passing by a mirror. You don't take the pain with you. That's why I said this too will pass, but it is a must. Without sensitivity it's impossible. Without an open heart it's impossible. Without feeling it's impossible. Since I came closer to you, your physical presence, I feel how much more my heart has expanded. My whole being feels more open, more sensitive to everything. It is a great blessing to feel myself more and to be so open to you, to love, to existence. Yes. But when I'm open, I'm open. I cannot choose what to feel and what not to feel. No, you cannot choose. You just allow whatever is happening. Look how nice everything is going, no? How come? Huh? What happened? Nobody knows. It's a mystery. So trust that too. It is a must. This is the journey from unconsciousness to consciousness, from darkness to light. And that's why many people, they don't want the truth. They can't stand, they dream about love, they don't want really love, because you have to sacrifice, you have to be open. You have to feel. It's part of the learning. Then you feel in your own being the suffering, no? Of unconsciousness. Or the little dog that didn't get food. It doesn't matter, but it's very valuable. Then, of course, some people are more sensitive than other people also. And I see how much more sensitive I became to other beings suffering in pain. It really goes in, and sometimes it hurts me as it is happening to me. Yes, it's also part of it, because they are part of you. And we are helpless. And only in that helplessness surrender happens, no? That you cannot do anything. And only when you give up, then grace can flow into you and flood you. Otherwise people are insensitive, they are hard, nothing. They want to be in charge, they want to be in power. There's no way to reach them. Then becoming human and sensing this, opening of the heart, the feelings, the senses, all the senses, no? That's the flowering. Then you will sense all this pain. It's part of the process, no? That's how it is. But you also understand, as you are helpless, everybody is helpless. Everybody has to go through their own path, no? Their own evolution. So you ask it, how is it for me? All, when you are sensitive, like I said the other day, that the Buddha can look more insensitive than the Jesus, because Jesus is dealing more with more ignorant people. Buddha was dealing with more advanced disciples, many thousands of disciples, was in tune. Jesus had only 12 people, and even one sold him for 12 shillings. No? He had to work on a different way. No? But all the enlightened ones, they feel all the suffering. No? Whatever is happening around. That's why I always remind you, and all the Buddhas remind you, that on this path it's better to be alone than to be with the masses. It's for this reason, no? Because something starts opening. And it comes by your own understanding, it's not the doing. You see that you cannot be, if you are clean, you don't want to go, and if you are clean white clothes, you don't want to clean the chimney. It's like that, it comes by itself. And the more you evolve, different joys. Huh? For some people, the joy is to go to the bar, to the pub, no? And get unconscious. For some people, the joy is to drive around and rob people, no? For some people, the only joy they have in life is to go to war. For the enlightened man, he celebrates himself, which is the whole existence, no? But he feels the suffering, but he's helpless, no? Even the master is helpless if the disciple is not open. He cannot do, he can just feel it. How many times haven't you seen that, how I deal with the people? I said, it's so unnecessary, so unnecessary. But they don't know. They don't know. They have to go through it. They have to have that experience by themselves. It's the only way. The master feels it. He feels the pain, the suffering. I know that I cannot save the world. Very good. Because that is an old trap. Save yourself. Only then you can save people. When you are saved, then you become like a magnet for people who wants to be saved, no? Like the moth gets attracted to the fire, no? They don't care. I cannot stop the suffering from happening. The only thing I can do is to end my own suffering, my darkness, my unconsciousness. Still, I can't help but cry in sadness and pain when I feel the other suffering. So my question is, how to remain open living in this world? This is just a question, you are doing it. And how is it going? Huh? How is it really going? Huh? Is it bad? Is it suffering? Is it pain? Huh?
It's part of everything.
It's part of everything. Is part of be a human being, no? And that's what you are, and many people are not, and they don't feel, no? So, the next is that you just become a witness, no? you accept that. Consciously, you see everything as it is. That doesn't mean that the suffering or the pain doesn't go, but is much less now, because you have gone through that. What that wanted to teach you, what that suffering, what that pain wanted to teach you. Then it teaches you more wisdom, no? How it is to be human being, how it is to live on this planet Earth. Trusting the process, no? How is it for you? It's just things that you have to take with you always. Don't hold on to it. Become more and more a witness. Like they say in the old scriptures, have the attitude of the sky. Have the attitude of the sky. Things comes and goes, no? Have the attitude of a mirror, of a witness. You don't choose, you just learn to witness. That is understanding. What can touch the sky, no? Accepting things as they are, which is impossible before this consciousness flowers, with this understanding flowers, then you see things are like it is. And it's beautiful, no? It's beautiful, no? Because also all suffering, all pain has to do in the physical world. It has to do with the body. It has to do with the mind, the suffering of the mind, the suffering of the emotions. That some child doesn't have enough food, some animal doesn't have enough food, somebody is dirty, somebody is poor. It has to do with the physical world, no? All that comes and goes. That's where the Buddha comes from, no? He understands that. It's nothing to do. We have come and go so many times. This is what they have to learn. It's part of the process. Understanding that everything is perfect, no? In the imperfection, everything is perfect. So, of course, you feel, but you also see this is how it is. That's the difference between a Buddha and a Jesus. Like, everybody thinks that Mother Teresa is great, feeding the poor. But that doesn't help. A Buddha wants to change their consciousness. If you just clean them and give them food, again, come back the same. Seeing this whole thing, you feel them, the suffering, the pain, but you also understand. You understand. Think. Understanding is the healing, no? Seeing is the healing. That's what the enlightened masters, the masses never understands them, because they hint at a different level of human beings. What the true master is to lift the consciousness. No? Only then you will be free. Only truth frees you. And for enlightened one, not only the poor, the homeless, the sick is suffering, but everybody is suffering. Maybe they have toys that they like now, and big houses and money and image and fame and physical beauty, but they will all go. It will all go. Then they will suffer. Only truth realizes and frees you. That's why even in the old days in India, in Ladakh, even the kings, the emperors, they went to the poor guru, the saint sitting in the forest, in the mountain, in the cave. Because he had something that not even kings could have, no? The truth has never been for the masses, it's only for the few. And that's how it goes on. It's not for the masses, even for the seekers. A shams is always looking for a roomie. A Lao Tzu is always looking for a Chang Tzu. That's how it goes. It's not for the masses. They said Bodhidharma was sitting for years facing the wall. He must have been so fed up. He didn't find anybody who could receive his wisdom, no? His love, his consciousness. And then one day, one disciple, one seeker came and said, "You turn around." And he didn't care because so many had come. "Don't disturb me. I'm fed up with you people." And you see, "If you don't turn, I will cut my arm." Then he realized this is somebody who means business now. Those people are very difficult to find. adopt the attitude of the sky. Huh? How is it for you? That's how it is. Huh? Things come and go. Stars and planets and sunrise and moon and everything there. Huh? Doesn't affect the sky, does it? Huh? Everything is happening like that. So beautiful. Huh? Hmm. Including life and death, no? Hmm? Then what? What suffering? I like it a lot there. Because, like I said the other day, you know, it has been many enlightened beings, you know. So all that comes into this channel also when I'm here, you know. They are very happy, you know, somebody speaks again the truth, you know. Otherwise, only look at these people. Beloved Swaha, I'm very grateful for the gift of being with you here in Ladakh and to travel around and visit many old Buddhist monasteries and holy places. I totally enjoy all the travels and trips to these places. And the main reason why I love it so much is because they are another opportunity to be close to you, to be with you, and fall in tune with you. Is there any other hidden meaning in going to holy places than creating situations to be together on this beautiful journey home, in love and gratefulness, Rishi? No. There is no hidden meanings. Everything is totally open. I don't have any hidden meanings. And I have no expectations also. So this must be the only thing, just to be together and, like you say, creating situation, no? Situations that you can feel more, fall more in tune, enjoying life, getting away from the old, from the habits. So to be with the Master is definitely the reason, no? Wherever, like you say. The main reason I love it so much is because it's another opportunity to be close to you and to be with you and fall in tune with you. Yes, because it doesn't matter where the Master goes. But of course, some places is more charged. That is also a fact. If I had taken you to New York City, this will be much more difficult, no? Because much more unconsciousness. And here you have it in the air, no? So it must be so ingrained in me also from the past. I always felt pulled to the Himalayas. I didn't know about Osho when I came to India, no? But I had a strong pull to the Himalayas. And if I hadn't met him, most probably I would still be there, be here. But I found something that was better, an alive master. like I said in those days, I found an Everest that could talk. An Everest with heart. So the most effective is always an alive master. But being in tune with the alive master, then of course you also become more and more in tune with what he's in tune with. You follow? So it opens up. Like I talk about my master, like Papaji, Gerida, Naropa, Rumi, all these people, Ramana. Then you start feeling in connection with them. So in that way, then you also can feel more when you are in these places. Which happens to many of you, that suddenly the meditation goes deeper. Something suddenly happened, bloop. You feel a different silence, a different presence, a different sacredness, because it become magnified. And for me, they are all with me. Like, I didn't have much intimacy or interest of Ramana Maharshi when I came to Papaji. But the way he took care of me and told me about his master and told me how it was for him in Arunachala, then I got interested. And he gave me juice to go there. Just like when I talk about different places, then you get interested to go there. Because you feel that connection. And when I came to Arunachala, I got totally a welcome from Ramana. So, that's how it is, and that's how it is here around also. Because the truth is one, no? The source is one. So if you first tap into one, if it's real, you will connect with everything. I told you there was one Naropa, no? Who was there in the Hemis. And also Jesus himself went there, no? When he was seeking. Or maybe even after the crucifixion, when he went to Kashmir, no? Then they had scriptures in this monastery that there was a man, they called him Issa, who came and wanted to study with the masters. So that must be 2,000 years ago, no? That monastery may be 1,000 years, 1,200 years, but already it was a known place with very highly evolved human beings, no? So this Naropa, he also came. And even in those days, they had wars, no? They had wars, the Mongols, the Muslim conquerors, invaded India, India never invaded anybody, no? But the Muslims, they came. And then the Sikhs, they wanted to go away from the war, no? The conflict. And that's how Naropa came up to the Himalayas. He had enough. And then he met his master, Tilopa. So this Tilopa must have also been waiting. When is it coming, somebody? Should I just sit there as a waste? And when you have something so precious, you would like to share it, no? Like Krishnamurti, he always wanted to share it, but he really didn't. He didn't find a way because he just talked through that super intellect. So this Tilopa, the master of Naropa, he told Naropa, the fools, in their ignorance, does not follow the truth, does not listen to the masters. They know nothing, and therefore they suffer. They have anxiety. They are in pain. Listen, surrender to the Master, for when His blessing touches your heart, the mind will be liberated from any suffering. That is the secret of the masters. Listen. And when the master's teaching touch your heart, the mind will be liberated. No more suffering. Aum Shanti. But for that to happen, you have to have an heart. The seed has to be planted in a moist soil. That's why sensitivity, openness, love, understanding, gratefulness, surrender is so important, because the seed has to come into the right soil. Then it sprouts automatically, effortlessly. This is how it always has been. The fools, in their ignorance, in their blindness, does not follow the truth. They can't listen to their heart. They don't follow the Dharma. They know nothing, but they think they do. They are suffering. They have anxiety. They are in pain. Listen, my dear Naropa, surrender to the Master, for when His blessings touch your heart, the mind is liberated from any suffering, any pain, and bliss is there. When the heart of the devotee has been touched by the love of the Master, this whole world loses meaning, because all that is worth knowing is in the Master's. That is the true renunciation, is effortless from your own heart.